Is the Christmas season making you work extra hard? Does everything else in the world seem to be moving so fast except those 2 vacation days you waited all year long for? They were supposed to be right around the corner. Pastor John Clark assures you they are. In fact, Sabbath rest is always around the corner, not just at Christmas, but every week at the Honolulu Central Seventh-day Adventist Church. Won't you please join us? If you'd like to watch the sermon, stay tuned for a link.
Some people like to have family come over at Christmas time. Is that correct? I mean, if you like family coming over for Christmas, just kind of raise your hand. Let me see it. If you decorate your house for Christmas, let me see it. Do you do that? If you are going to school, they go about trying to put on tests and papers that need to be accomplished right around the time of Christmas, right? Oh, and if you work, you have all kinds of things that you have to accomplish for work because it's coming to the end of the year, let alone trying to figure out all the details of life, cooking and cleaning and decorating, and let alone the way in which society now says that you need to buy the joy for your family. And so you have to go about purchasing everything so that they would be happy. And the stress load of financially trying to afford all of that so that everybody is happy wears me out, doesn't it, you? Just wears me out. Sometimes, I'm telling you, I get home from the busyness of the day, and I look at my chair, and I say, praise the Lord for my chair. Do you have a chair like this? Do you have a chair where you just say, oh, this is the chair. This is where it's at, right here. This is where life consumes me, and I just feel totally, completely at rest, and I can take on all of the things and all of the difficulties in life because I'm capable of sitting in this chair and being at rest. Are you grateful for rest? Oh, amen. When I think about it, the way in which a story is told about a woodchopper who is fervently chopping down a tree. He's got his axe and he's taking the axe to the tree and he's hammering it, just hammering it feverishly. Sweat is pouring off his brow, and he's just, as with every stroke that he's laying up on top of this tree trying to chop it down, the axe head is getting duller and more dull and more dull, which causes him to feverishly work harder and harder and harder. And there was a wise, what do you call them? Tree cutter. Trimmer. What? A cutter. Well, it's the guy that chops down trees. And he was wise. He was a smart man. And he goes up to the fella who's feverishly working. He now has a dull axe and still hammering away onto this tree. And he says, hey, friend, let me tell you something. You know, if you would just sit down, rest a moment, and sharpen that axe, life would go so much better for you. Well, the young, spry lumberjack, thank you, that's the word, lumberjack. The young man who has the axe that's dull, he says, I don't have time, because if I do, I won't get the tree cut down. Many of us approach life this way, where we feverishly are attacking life. And as a result of feverishly attacking life, we don't see the value of when rest becomes necessary for us to sharpen our axe. In fact, I've been doing some research on the subject matter of what it means to have rest and the importance of rest. Science is currently discovering that rest is a vital component to health. A vital component. In fact, let's go through this checklist for you, okay? So maybe you can see a few things in here that you can relate to. Here's a checklist to determine if you need rest. Here, I forget things I normally don't forget. How about this one? I fall asleep to the TV. How about this one? I can't focus on the task at hand, and my mind wanders. My thoughts multiply, and I can't quiet them. I know that sometimes happens to me. You get it at the end of the day, and you're trying to rest, but your mind is shooting through all the different details of the day that you have previously done, and then lined up all the details of the day that you need to do tomorrow. Does that happen to you? I have a hard time praying, or my prayers are like one word: help. I've gained weight. See, you know what? I don't think they should have gone there. I don't think they should have gone there on this list. Here, I'll come back to that in 1 second. There are circles under their eyes. Wait a second. I cry easily. No, it's perspiring out of my eyes. Christmas is more overwhelming than usual. It's hard for me to get up in the morning. If you've identified with five or more of these statements, maybe it is that you need some rest. Maybe it is, you know. When the weight one actually caught my attention, when I was doing some research on the subject of rest and weight loss, it turns out that when you are asleep, you're not hungry. Did you know that? Let that sink in for a second, okay? You know, you're not hungry when you're asleep. However, if I don't sleep, for some reason, whatever chemical in my body tells my body that you're not hungry doesn't get turned on, and therefore I continue to eat when I don't sleep. And I'm wondering if that's happening in American society. We keep shoving more stuff in to our schedule. We don't get enough sleep. And as a result, the food that we consume, we continue to consume, and we eat too much. And as you can see, I'm struggling with that as well. My best diet plan: go to bed. I have a feeling that maybe some of us need some rest. That wasn't an observation on weight. I'm just saying, maybe some of us have some, you know, have a need for rest. And I think that's why I believe the Sabbath question, trying to figure out why God defined Sabbath as being important, because He knows us. He knows us. He knows what we need. And if the society would just start to come to understand and value what it means to have the rest that God is calling us to, we would probably end up revolutionizing the way in which we do everything. You see, this is not a new subject. It's one of the old subjects that I believe has probably been forgotten, that needs to be reiterated. And Seventh-day Adventists are one that have value to the Sabbath. We take it on Sabbath morning, Saturday morning. And we find our rest on Sabbath morning, Friday night to Saturday evening, a whole day. We biblically look at it and we allow ourselves to rest for a whole day. But this is not new to us, and we're not the only ones. In fact, D.L. Moody, this is one of the statements that D.L. Moody that was saying, that we desperately need to maintain Sabbath. I believe that the Sabbath question today is a vital one for the whole country. It's a burning question of the present time. If you give up the Sabbath, the church goes. If you give up the church, the home goes. If the home goes, then the nation goes. That is the direction in which we are traveling. And most of you should probably say, huh. The church of God is losing its power on account of so many people giving up the Sabbath and using it to promote selfishness. He continued in saying, "Show me a nation that has given up the Sabbath, and I will show you a nation that has got the seed of decay." Powerful words, spoken in sometime in his life between 1837 and 1899. Abraham Lincoln said, "As we keep or break the Sabbath, we nobly save or meanly lose the last best hope by which man rises. And so here we have leadership saying Sabbath becomes a dire need for society to function. And as we continue to fill up the time and start to expend the time out in places that God had not intended it to go, what happens is not just do we start to fall apart internally, but what we start to do is, as a nation, we start to fall apart. God stops being number one. We start being number one. And everything starts to fall out beyond that. There's huge decay that happens as a result of not discovering Sabbath rest. Now, as a Seventh-day Adventist, I grew up with many things that we define Sabbath. I posted on Facebook, which I have many people responding, and these are some of the responses. Favorite memories, favorite Sabbath memories, what does Sabbath mean to you? We got comments like dealing with the activities that they were familiar with Sabbath that had special meaning to them, singing in retirement homes and hospitals, going to the beach, and others responded by lighting candles. You know, they loved doing candle lighting on Sabbath to recognize it. Some people loved listening to the radio, listening to Your Story Hour on the radio. How many people remember Your Story Hour on the radio, listening to KSGN or some of the other Christian Seventh-day Adventist radio stations that were out there? One of the things that really caught my attention was somebody responded that they really enjoyed the Sabbath blessing of guilt-free rest. And it started to get me thinking. Because as I grew up as a Seventh-day Adventist, I recognized that I had created an environment that literally allowed for guilt to find itself in the lists of do's and don'ts. How many people grew up as a Seventh-day Adventist? Did you grow up as a Seventh-day Adventist? Maybe you were related to some of these lists. I grew up knowing that there were things to do and things that you don't do. You don't go, you don't watch TV on the Sabbath. This is how I was raised. You don't watch TV on the Sabbath. If it was a Christian program or a nature show, Then maybe. You don't play any kind of sport that had a ball in it on the Sabbath. There was no ball playing on the Sabbath. And so, you know, you had a bunch of kids marching, you know, because you had to walk softly on the Sabbath. And so they were marching, playing tag. That's how we were raised. You dressed a certain way. Most people, how about this? How many people cleaned their house Friday night? Did you clean your house Friday night in preparation? That was the chore, oh my goodness. And we had to clean everything. My family had four kids of us, and man, we were cleaning, dusting, and toilet brushing, and dishes, everything had to be done in preparation for the Sabbath. We grew up with these rituals and these chores and the things that kind of defined. And so Sabbath, sometimes we went out on bike rides. We could do that. We couldn't go to the ocean into the water past our ankles. And so all of us fell. Every Sabbath at the ocean, we fell. We have these lists. I remember in Southern California, it got so hot. Summertime, it would be like 110, 115, and we'd come home from church, and my parents would have the Sabbath afternoon nap, which is a holy time. I have discovered that since I've had children. Sabbath afternoon nap, those are parameters around holiness. And we wouldn't go take a nap because we were young, and so we had all this vital energy built up, and it was 110 degrees, and we had a pool in the backyard. And so we're just trying to figure out, what are we going to do? Because it's too hot to go outside, but there's the pool. what can we do? So I went up to, we went up to our parents and said, can we please, please go into the pool? May we? My parents were looking at us because they were looking at the holy moment of the Sabbath afternoon nap, and they were trying to figure out what to do with us. And so you could see the wheels turn in my parents' minds as they were working out, how can we do this? They said, okay, but you cannot swim. You cannot splash. You can float. And so it became the beginnings of the Sabbath afternoon floating on Sabbath, where we were able to float. And so, I mean, the reality is that we have these regulations, these things that we created as lists of things that you could do, things that you couldn't do. And then other Adventists would argue about what is allowable and what isn't allowable. You know, you have some Adventists who go out to eat on Sabbath. You have other Adventists who condemn the practice of going out to eat on the Sabbath. And then it becomes controversy between those who are calling themselves Sabbath Adventists. And it's just, it's a bunch of lists. And I'm not here to recommend, nor am I here to put away of any of these activities. I'm here to point out the Lord of the Sabbath. That's it. Because I think if we lose sight of the Lord of the Sabbath, we lose sight of rest. Does that make sense? So I would like to ask the question, does our church provide rest? I love to say that our church does. Our church provides rest. And I love it here. But when I think of my heritage and my history, I have to think that sometimes, like the Jews of Jesus' day, we create lists of Sabbath regulations. Unfortunately, the trying to keep the lists create the very work stress that the Sabbath was intended to alleviate us from. And so we wrestle with the guilt, and we wrestle with all of the things that just kind of weigh on us, because if we break the Sabbath, what we're doing is we're telling ourselves that we're somehow not acceptable to God. There are things that we need to do on the Sabbath. There are things that we should not do on the Sabbath. But I do believe that when the list takes the place of Jesus in Sabbath, the people don't reject the list, they reject the Sabbath altogether. So if you see the Sabbath as a negative requirement as opposed to a privilege, maybe your Sabbath is list-driven instead of Jesus-fulfilled. I think this is where we find Jesus. Where we discover where Jesus himself was trying to paint the picture. You heard the story read earlier. Jesus was hanging out with his disciples, and he was preaching long, and people just loved to listen to his sermons because he took everything and made them so relevant to their lives. And he was preaching, and his disciples were with him, taking care of people. And it got late one day, and this was time where the harvest was starting to build, and the fruit of the grain was starting to grow, and it was time for harvest. And as they had completed the sermons and the meetings of the people's needs for the day, the disciples and Jesus were walking along, and as they were walking, the grain was too good to pass up. And so they started to just kind of pick the grain as it let it run through their hands and pick it. And in their hands, they rubbed it together. And the grain was there ready to eat. And they put it into their mouth. And it was just such a blessing because they were hungry. You can imagine what the possible conversation might have been. Jesus, we're hungry. And Jesus looks at him and says, well, hey, you know, let's take some. You know, eat. If you're hungry, eat. You can hear the words of Jesus' care and concern. Yes, eat. Be filled. So the disciples, in so doing, they were observed by the Pharisees, who not only had laws, but they had laws on laws and laws on laws on laws. And they had seen what was going on with the disciples of Jesus, and they were looking at him, and they were saying, "Hey, wait a second. You call yourself someone who knows God? Someone who is close to God? Why is it that you allow your disciples to do something that's against the law?" Were they correct? There was a law that was written: you should not harvest. It was written. I've read it. I've read it just recently. I looked it up. There was a law: you should not harvest. And they looked upon this thing, what they were doing, and it was against what they had said it was against. And Jesus, I imagine when he was looking at his disciples, and when he was looking at the Pharisees, in light of this comment, in light of this critique, Jesus said something very interesting. He says, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry?" David, their hero. David, the one that they lifted up as an example, a man after God's own heart. They knew all of this. David was the King of Kings. He was the one who defined the greatness of the kingdom of Israel. That guy. The one whom the Messiah was supposed to be the lineage from. That guy. Did you not know what it said about David when he was hungry and he went into the temple, the house of God, and he ate the bread of presence, which was not lawful for him to eat? Nor was it for those who were with him, but it was only lawful for the priests to eat. That probably should have quieted them down. But Jesus continued, and he said, "Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless?" The priests are working, and they're working hard. They have to light fire. It was a requirement to make the show bread on every Sabbath. They made the bread fresh on Sabbath. So they had to get the sticks. They had to build the fire. They had to do all of this labor in the process of making the bread, the show bread. That was the activity of Sabbath. Not to mention the fact that they also had to go about doing 2 animal sacrifices on the Sabbath. And yet, here they are working, but they are guiltless. Which gives you the understanding and the meat of when Jesus said, "I tell you, something greater than the temple is here." Oh, it's awesome! Because Jesus then is the interpretation of the temple. So let me put it in your mind here just for a second. Because we have these regulations, but it's all because of Jesus. Jesus is the Lord of the temple. And if Jesus is the Lord of the temple, everything that we do is found in him, in the Lord, as he is the Lord of the temple. Oh, that's exciting stuff. Because let me share with you the implication of what that means. If you had known what this means, you would not have condemned the guiltless, and therefore the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. So put this equation together of what Jesus just shared. Because there's freedom in it. And I want you to understand the freedom that's found in the rest in Christ. If Jesus is the temple, and the priests in the temple are guiltless, then the disciples who are with Jesus are guiltless. That's huge. That's huge. You should be like jumping up and down, just doing backflips. Because that means, listen guys, listen. That means that Jesus, because he's here and he's with us, all of you in God's eyes are guiltless.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah? How many people have labored so long and so hard over the guilt that they have before God? And Jesus comes to him and he says, I want to be with you. I want to be close to you. And because he does so, he causes you to be guiltless. That's big. That's huge. That's the meat of Sabbath. Now, too many times we have made Sabbath into something that probably Jesus would say it isn't. Because we go about trying to describe these lists and regulations, and we go about saying that God demands sacrifice on Sabbath when God is trying to tell us, no, it's the day that I get to experience love with you. Amen. That's what it's all about. And if we only embrace Sabbath in the context of guiltless love, affection from Jesus Christ, I tell you, we would probably have more people embracing Sabbath. Because they would experience Jesus, the complete temple.
We hope you are enjoying Sabbath Rest by Associate Pastor John Clark at the Honolulu Central Seventh-day Adventist Church here in Nu'uanu. If you would like to watch the complete sermon, please go to www.facebook.com/Honolulu Central SDA for this, past sermons, and many more to come.